Bob Rocks.
What's up? It's Josh Todd from Buck Cherry.
Hey, Josh, how are you today?
There to Midland, and you?
Oh, my. I haven't heard that saying in forever. Thank you for that. Coming up from the tri-state area with West Virginia, Maryland, and PA, that is a favorite saying that I love to hear from our West Virginia listeners.
Yeah, I'm a Cali boy, but I heard that a lot on the road, and I always loved it.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, I'm ready to do it.
Well, let me introduce Josh Todd, of course, frontman of Buck Cherry, who's going to be hitting the Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races Friday, September 13th. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's going to be a fun time. You know, we're out here still touring on the Volume 10 tour, and it's going so well. We're on our 10th record and 25 years in the rock game. It's a pretty special time for us.
I must say so. I think I've been with you in the entire time, and I've seen you several times in Baltimore and in West Virginia at Shiley Acres. It's just been such great. You have so much energy on the stage. How, with all the touring and doing this for so long, how do you maintain your sanity and your sobriety?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'm pretty disciplined in my regimen. You know, I have like a whole spiritual regimen and, you know, physical regimen, and it really keeps me focused on the road, you know. And that has to do with, you know, just I don't want to bore you with all the details, but, you know, meditation and working out and eating right, and got to do all those things, you know, especially as a singer, and to keep my mind right.
Yeah, I even have seen where over the years now you didn't really practice with your voice, you just kind of sang and just did it. And then as the years have gone, you've kind of done more with taking time to protect your voice and things like that. Was that difficult to learn and start doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was way back after the first record. But yeah, I warm up, I warm down. Yeah, everything's different. I didn't really have a vocal technique, because the first time I went to take voice lessons when I was a kid, the female vocal coach, and she wanted me to go home and learn Every Breath You Take. I wish I would have done, you know, but I was really into the Back in Black record at that time, and I was like, I don't want to sing that. I want to sing like this. And she's like, oh, we don't teach that here. And I was like, oh, okay. And that was it. I never went back and just taught myself, you know. And I would do like a warm up, but it was my own made up warm up, and it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't right. And finally, after the first record tour, I just, you know, this is before in ear monitors and stuff, and I was just blowing my voice out a lot because I couldn't hear my voice really well because of all the other instruments that were going on. So I started taking vocal lessons, and then I just became a real student of, you know, vocal technique, and I really got into it.
That's awesome. And like you've said, 25 years, that's just an incredible feat, especially in the rock world, and especially not always being in mainstream and kind of being censored throughout the years. With a catalog over 150 songs, plus now the Volume 10 album, is it difficult for you to make a set list for your shows?
Yeah, it's real difficult, but I mean, we always have like what I call the usual suspects, which are, you know, like songs like Lit Out of Sorry, Crazy Bitch, Riding. Those all got to kind of be there every night, or, you know, people get a little upset. we would not put them in, but so those are all in there. And then we just have so many songs, like you said, and we got so many videos, and it does become hard. But I make the set list every night, and it also has to do with feeling that day and what's going on with me physically as well. You know, I'll rotate songs, you know, to match that, and it all works out. We have really great songs, and the show is amazing, and a lot of frequent flyers that I call, you know, a lot of people that come to multiple shows, so it becomes a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Why did you add the Bryan Adams Summer of 69 to Volume 10?
Yeah, you know, we would pull that, first and foremost, we're huge fans, and that's a song we all really love, and it's just undeniable. I mean, you can slow that song down, or you can speed it up, and it's still great, you know, and that's a sign of a really well-written song, and he wrote so many of those at that time, so many hits like that. But anyways, we would throw it out live, and our manager caught it one night. He's like, this is so great. You got to record this. And we're like, yeah, maybe we'll do it sometime. That would be fun. And then he just kind of stayed on it. He's really the reason why we got it across the finish line, because we weren't really thinking about it. And so we ripped it out during the Volume 10 writing, and it just stuck around, and everybody loved it, you know, so it made the record, you know. That was one of those songs, and when you listen to it, I mean, we speed it up just a little bit, and then when you put my voice on it, it sounds like a Buck Cherry song, you know. It's cool.
Definitely. What are your favorite songs to cover? Like, who do you admire with songs?
Yeah, well, we did a whole covers record. It's called Volume 1, Buck Cherry Covers Record Volume 1. It was a lot of fun. We did so many songs by the artists we love, like AC/DC, Minus Red. We did a Rick Springfield song on there, you know, just across the board. Whatever is like a good song, you know, that, and something that, you know, is in my wheelhouse vocally for sure.
You have, of course, been writing for years, and that's kind of how you started with this. What is your favorite song that you have written so far?
You know, that's hard for an artist to answer because always our favorite songs are the last ones we
write,
written,
yeah.
You know, because it's so close, you know. But I mean, as far as songs that are on records, you know, I'm very proud that I've had bona fide hit songs. That's really hard to come by, you know, and especially in a genre of music that's completely dead now. So at one point it was, you know, it was really booming, you know, the rock genre. And so, you know, to have Crazy Bitch have such longevity, and it's still like one of these songs that, you know, people still come up to me to day and the streaming and everything. It's pretty neat, you know. I mean, that's something you dream about. You know, our very first hit is very special to me, Lit Up, because, you know, it was the first time we'd heard our song on the radio, and that was a really amazing moment for us, you know. Songs like that.
Now, has your writing process changed over the last 25 years?
My what?
Your writing process, like, do you still do like hand, like paper and notebooks, or have you done like voice memos or like?
Yeah, no, it's changed as far as how I get my ideas down for sure, you know, with the iPhone and everything. But, and I type instead of write with a pen, but nothing's changed as far as
the creative process.
The creative process is the same. Our mentality is like, we always do what's best for the song. So wherever that comes from, if I write a melody and it's just not popping, and let's say Marty Fredrickson comes up with something better, then I'm all for it. You know, I want the song to be great, you know, and, you know, I write all the lyrics, and, you know, so that's kind of my department. I've been writing lyrics since, you know, I started doing this when I was 15, you know, so I just have a knack for it, and I really love it. I really love storytelling, and, you know, songs are like short stories, and they're emotions, you know, as well.
Definitely, definitely. You did mention in an interview that I saw years ago about writing a book. Is that ever a possibility from you?
Yeah, you know, I wrote a script, and then, you know, I wanted to write a book, and I just have not been disciplined enough to get it done, because every time I sit down to write, I'll start writing a song, you know, and then, you know, the focus will be on the song, and I'll move on. You know what I mean? I'll get like an idea or whatever. You know, I really did enjoy writing a script, though. That was a lot of fun, and it's super underdeveloped, but it was really challenging and fun. But at some point, I'll get to it.
At some point. I mean, you got another, what, 25, 30, 50 years to go, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very busy. You know, when I'm not on stage, I'm at home, and we go right into songwriting. So, and then, you know, the time with my family and my kids, you know, it just, there's not a whole lot of time. You know, so, and I play a lot of tennis now, and that really helps me mentally, because it takes me completely away from everything. And it's a great way for me to, you know, to kind of check out and to, you know, I love to compete. So it's very good for me.
How did you fall into tennis?
I had a friend when I was in junior high school and elementary school, and he was really good tennis player in junior high, and I never got into it, but it was always very close to me. And so I picked up a racket, you know, and wanted to take up a sport that was a little, you know, at that time I was racing go-karts, and it was just taking too much time away from home. You know, it was a lot of, not only a lot of money, but you had to drive an hour to the track and so on. So I wanted a different thing I could compete in, and I remembered him, and so I'm like, I'm gonna get into tennis. And so I'm so glad I did, because I've been playing tennis now for going on 5 years, and I just love it.
That's awesome. I never would picture you as a tennis player.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun. I got a rotation of guys I play in. There's, you know, for club players like myself and every other schmo that's not a pro tennis player, there's a thing called the USTA and UTR, and you can join it and get ranked and go play tournaments for very, very cheap, and it's fun, you know, and people take it, all of us players, we take it seriously, so it's very competitive.
That's really cool. I might have to try that out sometime.
Yeah.
You should set that up at your concerts, where you have like a tennis cart in the back and have a little, like a little tournament.
You know, I do play just random people all over the United States, and I always have my racket with me, and sometimes I put on my personal Instagram, like, hey, I got a day off and wherever, I'm looking for a male, 4-0 player, and sometimes I'll get guys that'll chime in. I got guys that I still play to this day that I've, randomly played on my day off, and I just met the greatest men playing tennis, really nice people, and they're from all walks of life, which is really cool.
That's awesome. Do you ever think you're going to get into the pickleball then?
No, I'm not a pickleball guy, but whatever people want to do that, they enjoy, I'm all for it. It's just not my thing.
Well, before I let you go, where do you see yourself in the band? Do you ever see yourself slowing down, or is this going to just keep on rocking through?
I can't see myself slowing down unless I'm incapacitated in some way,
Kind of forced to.
I've always, I've been kind of a workaholic my whole life, so I just enjoy what I do. So I'll probably just keep doing it until I can't do it.
Well, we definitely can see in your performances and in your videos and everything that you've put out that you definitely do. And we can feel your music. And so thank you for all these years so far. We can't wait to see what's coming forth. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
No, I'm just fired up. We're fired up to come and play. And, I just encourage everybody, if you haven't checked out Volume 10, our 10th record, go get it and come out to the rock show and come to multiple rock shows. We're always mixing it up and it's a real good time.
All right. Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.